Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Hello and welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. You know, last night we had a show and I had a young lady on named Erin Tohill, who truly, after I walked away from the show, truly captured my thought and had me really thinking about the interview. And I'd asked her on the show to do a part two, so we got her patiently awaiting on that. But my takeaway from the show is she's a tremendous warrior, a tremendous gladiator who has really given no excuses for life. With that being said, welcome Erin Tohill to the program. Erin, how are you doing today?
I'm well. Thank you for having me back.
Oh, how could I not? You know, you sit back and we listen to the interview, and there's so many attributes and aspects to you that truly have defined where you're at in life today. You know, for the listeners today, why don't you give a little quick synopsis or a story behind Erin Tohill?
Oh, my God. Okay. I tried to get like 20 years of stuff in 30 minutes last night. I don't know what part do you think I should kind of touch on or pick up on?
Well, where I feel and what touched me the most was, how did you overcome adversity and now find yourself wanting that platform again, that time to shine in the sport?
I go back to one of the main things that taught me hard work and adversity and never giving up. I attribute that to my father. I'm very lucky. I had an amazing dad, and I try to tell people, and it's the same thing, you know, a woman's relationship with her father really sets the bar for everything in life. And it's the same thing with the son and the mother. And I know for some people that'll make sense, and for some people it might not. But I had one amazing parent. My dad never missed a game. He always told me I could do anything I wanted to do. He was my biggest fan, and really that was, you know, from the time I could remember when I started doing sports at 4. And having a parent like that combined with sports and those two, I mean, to be honest, that's probably what got me through 99.99% of the things, you know, my obstacles and trials and tribulations what I faced in life. And it was, don't give up. You know, I talk about sports being such a key component to life. And it really is. You know, it's not about getting out there and winning. And I like that too. But it's taught me so much about self-assuredness, self-confidence, self-esteem, all of those things. And women get a different benefit from sports than men do. So, you know, I really speak out for obviously empowering women and et cetera, et cetera. But going back to that, that's how I've been able to get through things.
You know, last night when we spoke, you talked about you had always been, you know, the one that said everybody has a mean streak in you and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But through last night and kind of conversing with you a little bit today, you know, there truly is a soft heart behind that exterior. You know, what is it about you, Erin, that has you at arm's distance in life, but yet you can tell that you're a caring, compassionate person?
Well, I think I've always had a good heart. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, just like many other people. And I think the key was being able to learn from those. I repeated the same pattern multiple times because I couldn't get the lesson. And then how we kind of talked about last night, I really had to hit, you know, rock bottom and lose it all to kind of say, okay, where are you now and who are you and why are you here? And I don't know. I always feel like, you know, we always talk about the people who are, you know, a little more gruff or rough around the edges or a little more meaner. We are, you know, I don't think I'm sensitive. I wouldn't call myself a sensitive person. I'm very logical. I'm very rational, but I'm in touch with my emotions. And now I am, I guess I can say, but I don't know. I just think in the last, you know, 5 years, I've done a lot of soul searching and healing. And that's the one thing, especially, you know, Americans, we don't talk about that type of shit. It's like, you know, you got to be badass and all that. And that's fine. But you can, you know, my motto is like, do no harm, but take no shit. And I really am that person. You know, I keep to my own. I'm very respectful and just stay. I'm very about staying in your lane. You know, don't bug me. I won't bug you. And if that makes any sense, so.
Oh, it truly does. I'm actually the same way, you know, as a photographer in this business for 23 years. I'm a man of the shadows. And, you know, through, and you can contest to this because you've been a part of this. You've been in the sport for, God, eons. And,
like,
you know,
I'm the same as you, like 23 years.
Yeah. But then you get these people that say, you know, and this is what I hate about social media. They say, oh, you're fake. You haven't done that. You're full of shit. And so I came to the aspect, okay, well, I'll start posting pictures with me and fighters at events and me behind the scenes with them. You know, maybe it'll shut people up. It didn't work. You know, and then, you know, 14 years ago I started the radio show and I started interviewing the best of the best in the sport. I used to do a show with Chris Matthews. You know, I figured people would go listen to radio and get a better understanding of why I'm not about fame, because I truly hate fame. You know, it's you know, people don't get it. It's not about us. But I found myself in this rut trying to prove myself to the fans of the sport. And it really, it fucked up my head, to be quite honest with you, because I was at the point that, what do I got to do to prove to these people? And then one day it dawned on me, I don't got to do shit.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything. And even if you said, what do I got to do? It's like, it wouldn't matter. It would never be enough. You know, there's, come on, you know, and some people never come to that conclusion. So I'm glad I did at one point in my life too, where it's like, no, I really, when I say I don't care what people think, I really don't, but I'm not out there, you know, being a menace to society and being somebody who's not giving back in some way, you know. I don't know, but that's the biggest thing, and I think that's the most freeing, and I've learned that with age. And I don't care, and when I say that, it's I really mean it. So
yeah, you know, I've learned to really mean it too. You know, it's an aspect with a sport, let's face it, it's brutal. You're from both sides and different aspects, and you know, the sport will either chew you up or spit you out. You don't last in this business this long like you and I have on being bullshitters, you know. You know, transparency is a key. You know,
exactly.
Last night you really touched my heart. There was only one other fighter that did that, and it's because you're an open book. You know, the reference I'm using is Jared Gordon. At the time, he had just won the world championship in CFFC. And I had him on the show, and he said, I don't want to talk about my belt. And it kind of stymied me. I was like, bro, what do you mean? He said, why don't you ask me where I was 18 months ago, what my life was like 18 months ago? And so I did. He said, bro, I was on heroin. I was addicted to crack. I was in rehab. He said, you know, this belt, he said, it doesn't mean anything to me. He goes, but where I'm at today does. He said, I want to give a message to the kids of America and the kids of the world that no matter how far you think you are down in that barrel, there's always a way out. And he said, and me winning that belt is proof that you can still live your life the way you want to and fulfill your dreams. And, you know, I kind of took a step back away from that show, and it even taught me a lot about life. You know, fighters come on here and they think they're gaining. Last year I interviewed 624 fighters, this year it's surpassed that. It's going to surpass that by many. But I get to take away a bit of knowledge from each and every one of you. So I'm the one that's really gaining here, though. Even though I'm giving you guys a voice, I'm the one that's gaining. And the sport is learning to understand that not everything has to be about hype. It doesn't have to be the same standardized five questions. You know, and it's better to show a different aspect of a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've defined yourself and you've correlated yourself with Dave Thomas. Tremendous man. He's actually got Chuck Liddell coming back on my show tomorrow.
Yeah.
And what was it about Dave that drew you to him and that conversation that you had that made you decide that this is where you needed to be at this point in time in your life, Aaron?
Well, Dave is going to do what he says he's going to do. You know what I mean? It's like that's the relationship him and I have. So, and anybody else that he has signed, when he says he's going to do something and get you on a card and do this, he's going to do that. And so from a business standpoint and aspect, I mean, that's my main concern. And he knows that I'm going to do my job to the best of my ability. And that's the reciprocity of a, you know, dynamics like that. I'm not getting back into it for my health and to, you know, like I said, prove anything or whatever. All of this is for me. And I had to make that. I already knew. I knew that if I had the opportunity to do it, I would do everything in my power to complete whatever, you know, goal this was or whatever him and I spoke about. And he knows that. He knows that I'm real. You know, I don't have the time to bullshit and he doesn't either. It's like we're very – We talk when we need to talk, and if it's important, and we get to the point, and that's what we do. So, you know, I need somebody like him to get me out there and do what he says he's going to do, and I know that he can do that. So, that's
where
that stands.
He truly can. I got Chuck Liddell. Only second to Larry King, and that was because Dave Thomas made that happen, said he would make it happen. That's kind of crazy, man. I'm sitting back going, I got Larry King's sloppy seconds, but I'll take Larry King's sloppy seconds every day of the week.
Sure. But, yeah, he's great at his job. You know, he's that quintessential manager, and it's like that's his fucking job, and he does it. So.
Yeah. Not very many like him out there. Not very many.
Yeah, I don't need lip service, and he doesn't need that from me. You know, he's like, if there's any doubts, no, there's not. You know, I'm not here to waste his time, and vice versa. So, we have that understanding.
Yeah, and also you're a true aspect and a veteran of the sport. Now we kind of started talking a little bit about your fight last night. Can you reiterate? I think you said it was, in November your fight was coming up, correct?
Yeah, so it's on the Chuck and Tito card.
That's
so,
right.
So that's, we're fighting November 24th. And, that's right around the corner. And it's at the Forum in Inglewood. So Golden Boy, that's their branching out into MMA. And I think that's a great decision. So a lot of money to be made on that.
Well, it's also a great way for Aaron Tohill to come back, you know, on Golden Boy Promotions, you know, on the same card as Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz.
Yeah, and my hometown, you know, and it's like I'm from L.A. originally, South Bay, that whole area. And I've been in Orange County, you know, like I said, when I was 17. So I have a nice home base in both places. So it doesn't scare me like, oh, I'm fighting around my friends. You know, I'm excited to do that. So. And it's going to be fun.
Yeah, because I got a buddy, Sayadawad, that lives out there, and he never gets to fight in California. Bellator always has him fighting in Connecticut, and he gets so mad. You know, so that opportunity to fight at home is tremendous. You know,
it's awesome.
I look at your career, and I, like I said, I sat back and I thought about our interview last night, and it's so profound, the adversity, the triumph, everything that you've been through. I mean, you know, I didn't really realize how in depth of a guest you would be, and That's why I wanted you back on today. You know, you have a true love and admiration for the sport. You have a true
mm-hmm.
respect for the sport, you know, and I've
mm-hmm.
only had very few guests on my show that I could really say that about. What
mm-hmm.
is it about you as a person that allowed you to not only participate in the sport, because you are one of the first women. I mean, you're one of the first people to set a stone in the ground as far as being a pioneer for WMMA and
sure.
in boxing. So
yeah.
when you sit back and you look at that aspect of it, Aaron, how does it truly feel to you knowing that you helped create and set the groundwork for most of these fighters today and you're still competing?
Well, like we spoke about last night, I mean, none of that was ever in my mind, even when I was in the thick of it, you know, when I was winning and doing both these sports. It just never occurred to me later on that it would be significant. And I've always been, you know, I have my ego too and my arrogance, and don't get me wrong, it's like to compete at a high level, you have to be at one a level. But the sport has absolutely humbled me. And again, it's like I've learned so much about it. And even it's like I have a saying too, it's like you're never better than the sport. And life is the same way. And so if you can, people can really correlate those two, and you keep learning and evolving as an athlete. And that's what you try to do as a freaking human being. That's how I feel about it, you know. And again, it's like I never thought that I would come back and have a second chance, but I've been training anyway the last several years, you know, when I started to get my life back. And it just helped me get through and level up as a person and just always bettering yourself. So I really like to reiterate that with people where, yeah, the sport is like life, and just keep trucking, because you're going to have those days and where you get your ass kicked, and then you'll have those days where you do really well, and the correlation is the same. So it's just bettered me as a person and helped me heal, helped me with a lot of things. So, you know, and I hope I just keep getting better, a better version of myself is what I try to be every day, better than before. And as a martial artist, we try to do that as well, I would like to think. But you and I talked about respect and stuff last night, and I talk about this with people my age or who've been in it a long time. And now I don't know if it's just the, you know, the millennial thing or the technology or whatever, but I do see that a lot, just the utter lack of respect, when that is exactly what this sport is supposed to instill in you: humility, gratitude, coachability, all of those things. And I just like, what the fuck is going on here? You know? And I see a lack of respect in a lot of young people, just in
yeah.
general.
It's
pathetic.
It's funny you say that. I made a meme up today, and I entitled it Generation Gimme. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's not
mm-hmm.
even the entitlement generation anymore. It's just that they,
yeah.
you know, And see, last night, you know, I reconfirm, make everything perfect. And, you know, when a guest doesn't show up on my show, it truly pisses me off, I'll be honest. Because, for
sure.
one, if you're not going to be able to do it, let me know. I can get another fighter on, someone who is deserving and deserves to share their voice and their career. And, you know, it doesn't piss me off, per se, about you not showing up. It's just you're taking an opportunity away from another deserving fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so I kind of got mad last night. And I generally don't do this. I took to a live. I didn't name any names, but I kind of went on a little rant. I ended up bringing up UFC veteran Jason Reinhardt into the live feed with me. And we talked about when the transition from the grit and grime and the true aspect of the sport truly made this transition to what it is today. And he said, bro, on my last six shows, he goes, you're mad that they're not showing up for radio shows. He goes, I got fighters not even showing up for their fights that they
yeah,
signed contracts
absolutely.
To.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What is it about these fighters that are sitting at 5-1, 4-2, 3-0, that give them that sense of privilege. You know, I could contact any world champion, and they'll be on in a hot second. They keep to their word. Where did that disconnect, do you feel, in your opinion? When does it start applying in the sport?
Well, it starts at home. I mean, give me a break. You know what I mean? It's like you're going to – there. Look, I mean, there are people who are going to – they could have everything, quote-unquote, perfect, whatever that means, and they can still veer off. You know, that's human nature. But, you know, I train children as well, and I've been doing that for 20 years, and I see when there's some type of disconnect with the kid with certain things, you don't have to look far. You know, who are they mimicking? Who are they patterning themselves after? And I can say if I didn't pattern myself after my dad and I did it after my other parent, who I don't even talk about her, I think my life would probably be a lot shittier than it was, you know, and that's that sense of entitlement and, you know, doing the work without they want the end result without doing the work. Now, it's not just kids and teens in this generation. I mean, there's a lot of adults like that too, but somewhere along the way, people make that choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. But I've also learned too, it's like we're human. Now everyone fucks up and makes mistakes, but if people show a pervasive pattern, a habitual pattern of just blatant disrespect and blatant, you know, okay, well, that's you. So they have that saying where it's like when somebody shows you who they really are, believe it, you know. But I can be a real, you know, SOB, but I've always had respect and I've always, you know, like I said, I mean, going back to my dad instilling that, and then I had a lot of great coaches and from growing up being coached. And so that's what we talk about, where it's like, if you can't be coached and be yelled at and be told to do something and you're going to cry and whine, well, fuck, man, I hate to see what happens when you get into real life, and you'll see the difference, you know?
That's so true. You know, it is so true. You know, it's like, something, you know, I ended up speaking with Antonio McKee. You know, he's a very good brother of mine, you know, and I exist the 1% of the sport. A lot of people don't want to believe that the 1% exists, but it truly does, because we're the ones that rely on each other. And what I got from the conversation with him was he has this level of respect and thought about you that I've never seen him speak of before. I've never heard him, you know, talk in depth or being so inspired by a fighter. What is it that is in that relationship with you and Coach McKee that has him seeing greatness through you? Because you've obviously have rocked the foundation of Antonio McKee in thought.
Well, you know, like I said, it's like we go back many years, but I wasn't the same person and he wasn't the same person. You know what I mean? Just because we've known each other on and off, that doesn't mean we had some type of, you know, dynamics between what we were colleagues, the same gym or whatever. But I think he always knew back then that I was, I don't bullshit. You know what I mean? I'm all business. And it was like when I was training with all the guys like Razor Rob and Tito and all those guys, like I came to train. You know, and I think that's the one thing that's lacking. I'm kind of jumping around, but with women in this sport, and I don't think he's been able to, he looks at me as I'm an athlete and he sees that, but he also sees that I'm a woman and he sees the regular type of women that are around these guys and wanting to fight and wanting to be the next big fucking thing, but they can't. They're writing checks that they cannot cash. You know, when I – it's like my – yes, my accolades and my background and all that, that substantiates what I say I'm going to do. But I think he has to see that. And I've been in there the last couple months and grinding and doing the same stuff as the guys do. And I don't – I want any women who are listening to this right now, because, look, men aren't responsible for being men – And I don't mean it in like that blanket, but it's like, this is a man's world fighting. Now women are being introduced, and we have been, and we've broken many barriers, and you can be beautiful and kick ass and all that stuff. But you still have to have, you have to hold yourself at a different standard. And no one said it was fair, but that's just how it is. When you're one woman training with a team of 20 guys, like, men are still men. They're going to look at you and be a certain way. Your job is to come in there and fucking fight and show that you can be there and hang with some of those guys. Or just not even that. You're there to work hard. You know, like, don't come in there with booty shorts and your tits hanging out and, like, your makeup and bending. It's just the wrong it's the wrong place at the wrong time, you know. I really try to, like, when they – and when people go, what advice do you give to women? Be beautiful. Be who you are. But, like, go in there and do your job. When I go to train, I'm not wearing shorts that are, like, my ass is hanging out. You know, I'm in there. I'm wearing what I need to wear, and I work hard. I'm not flirting with the guys. I'm not hitting on the guys. Do guys hit on me? Yeah, they do. And they know. I shut them fucking down. And I'll, like, you can ask anybody in this industry. It's like, I don't shit where I eat, you know? And it's like, if there was a guy here or there over the last 20 years that I dated, I mean, either I married the guy or I was with them for 4 or 5 years, you know? And I really can't, going back to McKee, I think he sees that, so it's nice to be like, okay, this girl's a girl, but she's badass, but she comes in there and does her job, and men respect that. And I pride myself on that, you know what I mean? Because it's like, that is me, that's who I am, and I can still be beautiful and outside of the gym and whatever, but when I'm there, I'm doing a job, and I don't want to be sidetracked, and these guys don't need to be sidetracked, and so my point being is that I think he's seen that, and we've, Antonio and I have talked a little bit too, and, you know, Real recognizes Real. He knows that I'm not full of shit, and hey, I mean, that makes things a lot easier. You know, you just cut out the bullshit, yeah. And that's that, so.
See, I love that aspect of you.
On it.
You know, I love that aspect of you, though, because, you know, I sit here, being in this industry, you know, I have to be on social media a lot. You see a lot of these fighters, you know, they post pictures, you know, almost all naked, you know, barely anything covering them up. But yet then they're the first to complain about it when somebody comments in a disrespectful manner.
And derogatory. Yeah.
And it pisses me off because I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like, why are you going to put the tamales out there, but then you don't want nobody to make a remark about them?
You know, and I'm all about, like, the body is beautiful. You know what I mean? Like, don't get it wrong. It's like, I've done sexy pictures and done all that, too. And I think that's okay, you know, to, like, you can be a dichotomy or you can show both sides. But also, there's a fine line between being, like, classy, where you try to keep it and the opposite of that. And I don't know, but, you know, these girls, then they wonder why, you know, they don't get, look, in the last 5 or 6 years, a lot of women have come through the gym and I've trained them and, you know, they train at other gyms and you know, I'm like, don't, one of the first things is, well, I'm having a problem with this guy that I train. Don't shit where you eat. It's not that hard. There's over 7 billion people in the world. Don't mess around with the guys you train with, you know?
I mean, put it bluntly, you know, if you had a regular job, you wouldn't want to screw your boss. I mean,
it
costs you your job.
It's the same thing. It causes problems, you know? And I get it. I understand it's an intimate sport, and you spend a lot of time with these people and all that, but it's like get your shit together. You know what I mean? And then you wonder why, because even though the sport goes worldwide, it's like, it's a very small industry and people talk. And so, like, you'll be hard pressed. It's like, maybe the worst thing somebody will say about me is like, she's kind of a bitch. Okay. That's fine. But you're not going to hear people going, yeah, she's messing around with all the people that she's training with over the years. Like, No. And I pride myself on that, not because I'm going against something that is like I want to do, because that's how I am, you know.
I love the way you are. You know, I've had so many female fighters on from the early era, but you truly are one that says it like it is. And that's one thing I think why I respect you so much is because you pull no punches. You know, Aaron, you're making your comeback November 24th. If you had to make a statement about what people can expect come November 24th about the return of Aaron Toghill, what would that statement be, my friend?
Well, you know, the biggest thing is, like, I'm not doing this for anybody. I'm doing this for myself, which is probably just for any other fighters, like, first and foremost, one of the most important things. I'm going to touch on something, like, really quick, but when Ronda, who I don't know her, Ronda Rousey, but I'm a huge fan of hers, but I'll never forget when she came back for that second fight, and I wasn't fighting at the time, and she said, I'm doing this for all the people who, you know, didn't believe in me or whatever, and I went, that's one of the first mistakes, and I knew that, and then the outcome became the outcome, and we talked about that. It's like, if you're going to go in there, it's for you. It's not for anyone else. I don't have the same pressure. Like, this is fun for me now. I'm glad I quit at the time when I did because, yes, I had a multitude of problems, but it stopped being fun. So I'm having more fun than I've ever had, but I think they're going to see a different – they're just going to see a different energy, a grown woman. You know, it's like I'm going to go in there and smash and do what I always did. You know, and they can expect an exciting fight.
Yeah, you know, and what's so cool about it is, you know, like we spoke about earlier, you did both sports at the same time. You're a tremendous boxer. You've got cage experience, and now you've got this rebirth mentality, this attitude to prove to yourself, and that's what's tremendous about it. And I think the world is going to be shocked and stunned when. Mm-hmm. November 24th comes because, you know, no matter what, you're going to be a winner in my book because your story is one that needs to be put on paper, you know. To have somebody express life like you do is tremendous. You know, Aaron, now that you've got this rebirth aspect, this, you know, new you, invigorated you, and you get that opportunity and you look over your shoulder, how grateful are you for the path that you've traveled?
I mean, extremely grateful, you know, when you're in the thick of it and there's no light at the end and woe is me and you're the victim and all this, it's like, you come to this realization if you want to get over that, it's like your choice, your circumstances are due to the choices that you make. Now, if I had made a left instead of a right, I mean, my whole life could have been different. I could have kept fighting in Strikeforce if I mean, we don't know. And that's the beauty of it. It's like there are things that you're never going to have answers to, and you don't need them. They're just, it's what is, you know? And that's really what I've tried to take away from the mistakes, the this, the that, the learning, and the person that I am today. I'm happier than I've ever been. I'm more fulfilled than I've ever been. And, you know, that's really what my mission is in life. And the fighting part of it is great. I love that too. But that's a facet of me. You know, back when I was fighting, that was my identity. I didn't even know who the fuck I was, you know. And when I lost and had some of my first real losses, it was like, who am I? What am I? And then through all of that, I realized it's like, you're Aaron fucking Toghill. And you can do whatever you want. This is a facet of you, you know. But I mean, I wouldn't have been able to get where I am today without a great group of people behind me, you know, friends that are family and people who support you, your goals, your dreams. And that's the one thing that I'll really express to listeners too. It's like, there's going to be people who say they support you and they don't, and that's okay. But the biggest thing is, like, you need to level up. If people are better than you and making you uncomfortable, that's the people you need to be around that push you to be your best in life. fighting whatever it is, you know, because I'm not about mediocrity. I really express that. I'm not an average person, and I just want to complete all of the things that I know I can do, you know, and I've never been able to show the type of fighter I really am because I've never had, it's my career was inconsistent. Even when I was fighting, people wouldn't fight me. Then I'd have layoffs. And then of course I destroyed my own career, but I think I get a chance to go, okay, this is here for a reason. And, it's your time to shine, and no one can take that away from me. No one.
No, they can't. And that's what's truly tremendous about it. You know, mm-hmm. you give back, as we spoke, you give back to the kids. You've made a difference in your life. You found yourself. You know, I'm in my 50s, and I'll tell you mm-hmm. what. I thought I was the shit until I hit 50. And then mm-hmm. I went, what the fuck
yeah.
have I done for the last 50 years?
Yeah,
and
funny, right?
No matter what. Each and every year now, I look back and I rationalize and I realize that, you know what, I am just who I am, and life needs to accept me, and I accept
yeah.
what life gives me. But my
yeah.
friend, you truly are a diamond in the rough. Your
yeah,
attitude,
thank you.
Where you come from, is truly a tremendous attribute to who you are. Like I said, I usually don't get dumbfounded on shows, but you dumbfounded me last night. I felt I needed to have you back on today to share
mm.
a little bit more of you. Hell, I can talk with you for hours.
Yeah.
That's the crazy
yeah.
part about it, but I know we both got to get here in a second. But
yeah,
you know, take November 24th out of the equation for a second, and let's say things go your way. How open is Aaron Tohill to the bare knuckle aspect, as it is truly a aspect of the sport that is paying better, it's growing, and you know, Jacob Stisch-Duran,
is that what you're saying? The
yeah,
the boxing,
and even,
yeah, yeah.
Well, Jacob Stisch-Duran defined it as the new aspect of the sport. If it does go to that attribute, would Aaron Tohill be on board?
You know, you know, I mean, ugh. Because I was talking to somebody about this a couple months ago. Now, like, when I see men doing it, I'm like, they're men. I think that's cool. You know, men are rough and tough and grumble, and women can be too. But, the money is great and all this stuff, but it's like there's certain parts that aren't. Now, I'm not saying, like, never say never, like, when they first offered, because I did get an offer for something, and then Dave talked to me. I'm like, you know, right now that's not my interest. You know, that's not what I'm interested in. And there are some things, I'm not saying this, but that aren't worth your money. It's your legacy. I remember this was about 2.5 years ago. Dana White, he asked me if I would fight Cyborg at the Pond or the Honda Center, wherever. And I was like, and I'm cool with Cyborg. Like, her and I were supposed to fight many times. And we couldn't because I wasn't in condition to. But her and I sparred several years ago, a bunch of times. And she's the champion for a reason. She's badass. We had some great sparring. But I was all, I go, Dana, I could have probably made a lot of money. But I go, no, I wasn't ready. And I'm not ready right now for that type of fight either. I have to get back in and get my feet wet, and let's get some wins and see where I'm at. But I told him that at that time, I go, the money isn't worth it. And it's not, you know, my legacy. And that's why I'm still quote unquote relevant, even though I haven't even been an active participant in the sport as a fighter. But a lot of that is because I've made certain decisions that are going to benefit my career instead of, you know, make a quick bit of money and then be on a fucking highlight reel. Like, I'm not trying to do that. So money is nice. Money is good. But my health is number one. I saw that when I was almost dying, you know, from pain medication. It's like none of it matters. All the money doesn't matter. All of the cars won't matter if you don't have your health. And when you're an older fighter as well, you know, I'm 41, but I'm beating the shit out of people half my age, so I feel okay with that. But I've also made a lot of good decisions. I'm drug-free. I'm a vegan. You know, for the animals, I'm an animal activist. I do a lot of stuff with animal work. But, you know, there are certain things that make the right decision, because in the end, the money will be gone, and what do you have? You know?
Not a fucking thing.
Not a fucking thing.
Yeah, I've seen it happen time and time again. You know, that's
absolutely
the sad part about being in this sport. You see people come, you see them go, and you know it's sad, it's heartbreaking, but you know it's the harsh reality of life.
Yeah.
You know, on this final
sport.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, on this final question of the interview, if you had to write on a piece of paper, to paraphrase a statement of who Aaron Toehill was, to be put in a time capsule for future generations to open up and look at and remember you, what would you like that statement to say?
Never give up. You know, I really, you can't. You can't. Life is going to beat you fucking down harder than any fight ever will. And you have to keep trucking. And you cannot give up, and you have to work harder and fight harder, and that is life, you know. So, I mean, really, I think that I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but that is me as a human being, and that's how I feel I am. I didn't give up, and there were times when I wanted to, you know, but when I stopped being a victim and said, okay, you're here because of the choices you made, now stop feeling sorry for yourself. Get your shit together. Don't give up. You know?
My friend, you truly are an inspiration. I'm so honored that you decided to come on the show last night and today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my gift. You know, I'd love to have you on right before you get ready to fight in November.
Sure.
I think it'd be a tremendous attribute. You're a tremendous role model and aspect, you know, and like I said, I take away from you guys. I mean, even though the show isn't your standard Wikipedia or Tapology show,
mm-hmm.
I truly take away from you. And my friend, you are very profound and very tremendous in your walk in life. And it was an honor to interview you.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. You know, thank you for letting me share my story, and hopefully it can impact somebody, one person, and, you know, that's what we're here for, is like, we're humans, humanize us, and you can get through anything, you know. Life is a fight, and don't give up.
Most definitely. On that note, I'm going to hand the mic to you. I know last night you already gave out your shout-outs, but say anything again, the floor is yours.
Oh, wow. You know, I think the last thing that I want to say, I touched on it last night about, you know, what the future holds, but we are the autonomous fighter is no one without their team. The same thing, whether you play football, hockey, et cetera. It's like, this is a team effort. And, I want to thank Dave Thomas for taking a chance on me. Same with McKee. Cause teamwork makes the dream work, and I cannot get to the point that I want to be without the people in my life, the friends that I have. And, the team of athletes that are going to be helping me to, you know, get that win. So all the guys from the body shop, and thank you for helping, and thank you for being there and supporting me. And it's a great ride, and it's been an amazing journey. And I think this is just the beginning. So.
Yes, I have to agree with you there. You know, on that note, thank you so much. I look forward to having you back on before your fight.
Thanks, Don.
Keep up the hard work. You're awesome, my friend. I hope your day is tremendous. God bless
it
you.
It will be. Okay, thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, we're running a little bit behind, so we're going to jump to the Misfits of Gold weekly special. Man, she rocks. I love interviewing her.
Holla.
What's up, my dog? What's up? You got Travis with you, or do I got to call him?
No. Yes, sir. I'm sitting right here.
Oh, you know, we missed you, sweetheart.
No fucking police after me today, dog.
That's all right. I let your phone number play out on live radio.
Hey, man. Good thing no one still called me, huh? I guess I'm not much of a loser.
Oh, man. I apologize for the show running a little bit late. You know, I had Aaron Tohill on, you know, and quite a tremendous guest. I mean, sometimes, you know how you, in life, you just find those people that you can sit and you can talk to just for hours, and they just, you're captivated by their words, and they truly just, I mean, it makes an hour seem like 10 minutes, and that's truly what it was. I had her on last night. I had to have her on again today because, you know, I don't think 1 hour even justifies her story, as she comes from boxing and had a world, you know, title fight against Leila Ali to starting in MMA in 1999. But it kind of takes me to a side of things in life that kind of has had me irked and pissed. You know, it's this entitlement bullshit. Last night I had a fighter scheduled, doesn't show up, doesn't bother to tell me, and then tries to put the blame on his coach. You know, so I created an aspect of a meme today that said, Generation Gimme. You know, when you look at how people perceive themselves, what is it that gives them that aspect? Man, that damn door, MF. But what gives them that damn aspect of feeling that they have the right just to blow off people who are trying to give relevance to their career? I mean, I'm talking about a fighter that's 3-1. You know, come on.
So, yeah, but anytime somebody gets a little bit of love, you know what I mean, they all of a sudden fucking think that they're, you know, entitled to whatever the fuck they want to be entitled for. They think that everybody's supposed to bend to their will, or, you know what I mean, they feel more important because they get a little bit of love. You know, maybe it's like because they didn't get that love that they wanted earlier, or that attention, or, you know, the eyes on them. Everybody wants fucking, I don't know. And then you get the people that just think that their lives are more important than anybody else's, or that their fucking opinions, or, you know, what they're going through is more important, or fucking, you know, they want to sit there and compare fucking tragedies and compare, like, see who's more oppressed. Like, it's fucking, like the Special Olympics, not to offend anybody on that level, but then again, I really don't fucking care if I do because you're sensitive.
Oh, man. Kind of like that meme I made, you know, with the big thumbs up and the middle finger. You know, you know, I honestly think you're one of the few people that actually correlated the true aspect and thought, you know, behind that. You know, I don't know, this whole gimme, you know, I need you when I need you, this whole aspect of only seeing people relevant when you see fit, it's becoming an aspect of me that I really don't want to deal with anymore. You know, Travis, I know you're not one of those people in that aspect, but, you know, you're usually, you know, the smart, intellectual person on the show. You're the one that keeps things on thought. What is your
usually
perception? Yeah, right? What is your perception on why the youth is totally taking a far left turn and is really just dismantling society as we speak?
I mean, you know, it's because we're teaching these kids that. You know, I saw it in high school. In high school and grade school, when you start at a very, very young age and you start doing things like taking away winners and losers, and even things, you know, like soccer, like T-ball. Like, we can't keep score anymore and everyone's a winner in T-ball. I mean, I have a friend of mine who their son just recently started playing, I think it's Pop Warner football. And the coach, or no, it was actually, it was baseball. And the coach was out there, and he was practicing without a ball because he said that he didn't want to introduce the children to failure this year early in the season. And how many times do we talk about, you know, failing and losing, that's what makes you get better. Getting your ass kicked in a basketball game makes you go out late at night and say, you know what, I need to fucking practice. I need to get stronger. I need to get faster. I need to hone my skills and become a more formidable person. And, you know, we've let our education system get out of hand with all of the coddling and the entitlement. And I think that's what you're seeing today. You're seeing a lot of these young kids who have grown up in an environment where they can do whatever the fuck they want, where they're entitled to everything, where their feelings are more important than the physical reality around them. And, you know, I think we're just seeing the downsides of what we've been doing for about the past 10 or 12 years with this whole out-of-control PC culture that we have going on.
Yeah, you know, I kind of have to agree with you. You know, it was like I can't remember the exact wording on this post. It said, you know, 72 different sexualities, this, and that. Last time I looked, there was only male and female. I don't know where they get these new things nowadays with 72 different sexualities. But, man, I tell you what, I seen a meme last week that kind of threw me off, and it just shows you the way society's going. It was two males acting like they were Adam and Eve, and they were having a conversation with God, and it was a video on Facebook. And one of them ate the apple, and I'm like going, where the fuck are they coming with this? You know, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And, you know, it's like, I don't fucking understand it. I mean, I'm not knocking homosexuality, because what you do is your own business. I mean, that's up to you, but the time and the age that I was brought up, you know, it just feels disheartening to me, because I go in a restaurant, I no longer see male and female couples. You know, I go into a lot of different places across the country, and you see less and less kids. You know, when is society going to understand that, you know, even though a person is gay or whatever, it still took a man and a woman to create them. So why is creationism being put on the back burner for homosexuality? And I'll start with you, MF Beck.
Perhaps it's punishment from a higher source. You know what I mean? It's the balance of the universe, regardless of how anybody wants to look at it. You know, there's light, dark, male, female, up, down, left, right. I mean, no matter how you slice it, there's always a pairing. You know what I mean? But, like, think of it like a magnet. When you get two of the opposite magnets, they attract, and they attract, you know, in it's like a strong manner, like it's difficult to pull them apart. But if you get two of the same, whether it's negative or positive, they just repel the other. You know what I mean? So it could be punishment, dude. It could be, you know, any other kind of fallacy you want to throw out there. But I think it's a lot of it's just people who were told that their opinions matter and that, you know, they're right. And like what Travis was talking about, the whole fucking PC culture and winning, losing, everything else. Like, nobody wants to feel that they're wrong. Nobody wants to lose. Nobody wants to go through that. So it's when you put somebody in that type of, like, a situation with a mentality that they have that's real fragile, real, you know, connected to their emotions and their fucking feelings and fucking cry me a river, it leaves a, what would you call it, like a wedge. You get what I mean? It's when they're told that everything matters in their head, they make up their own reality, because how life really is too scary. It's too dangerous. It's not what they want it to be, therefore it's not. So they're literally creating their own reality in their head, and if somebody goes against that reality, then it's pretty much telling them that, you know, you lost, you're wrong, you're incorrect, like whatever the case may be, that negative effect that, you know, it wasn't right, you didn't win. So they create this reality in their heads, and they want everybody else to believe it, because if not, you're attacking them on an individual level. And then, you know, it's like the spoiled mentality, too. It's like, why, you know, when you were in grade school, why weren't you allowed to bring shit in the classroom? Because if you did, every other fucking kid would want to do that. And unfortunately, that's a slippery slope that we're fucking climbing with all these laws and rules.
And when you get into that kind of, you know, talk, Don, where we're making things that are not objectively real in the world real, like saying the fact that, you know, words are violence and that they're the same thing is that, it creates this thought pattern in people where, you know, exactly like MF said, everybody wants their own personal reality to now be objective reality. And there's absolutely no end to it. You know, it's a snake eating its own tail.
Yeah, it truly is. You know, there's been some issues that are coming to surface that at first I didn't give them no relevance. And, you know, I've always thought Hillary Clinton had a root. But, you know, there's been a story that's been circulating. So I dug into it a little bit more about Michelle Obama, you know, and a lot of people are saying that she's a transgender, and I laughed about it. You know, I said, you know, this is funny, this is fake news. But the more you dig into it, the more aspects you start pulling up. And, you know, Pat Miletich always taught me, before you put your eggs in that basket, you do your research. And that's what I'm doing now. But, you know, I saw a statement that kind of dumbfounded me, that Barack Obama was the first openly African-American gay president, considering Michelle Obama is transgender. When you look at issues and statements and stories that are coming out in that regard, how much relevance do you, as everyday Joes in society, perplex into those types of situations?
I mean, man, my dad always taught me one thing, and that was, believe none of what you hear and half of what you see. And I think that, honestly, you know, this sounds like a ridiculous topic, like, oh, you know, we're getting out there into the weeds with the conspiracy. But I think you have the absolute right approach to it, Don. You have to look at, you know, every aspect of all these things. And there are so many things in the world, both politically, with business owners, with everybody, man. There is just so much absolute bullshit going on in the world that I wouldn't put it past people anymore. I mean, I actually saw...
That was Johnny, my bad.
Yeah, I actually saw... Who was it? There was someone I was listening to on a podcast the other day who, again, we're going to get a little bit out in the weeds here, but he was saying that he thinks that Obama is a clone. That you know, the military and the government, if you look at the fact that they do have all of these technologies, you know, that are so many far years advanced, you know, if the government, if DARPA really does have technology that's 70 years advanced, I mean, we've been cloning shit since the 90s. So I'm at the point now, Don, where I legitimately don't believe, if it's the mainstream media story to me, it's absolutely false. It's absolutely biased. It absolutely has its grubby little fucking, you follow the money trail behind whatever story from whatever news station puts that out, and it's all biased and slanted. So at this point, man, I would not put it past the establishment, the powers that be, you know, whatever you want to call it, I could see it. I could see Michelle Obama being a transgender. And I've seen the videos as well of her, you know, dancing on stage with a bulge in her pants. So I don't know what to believe.
You know, like you said earlier, you know, we believe only half of what, you know, you hear and partially a bit of what you see. Hell, I wouldn't even want to see it. I wouldn't even want to see it. But, you know, we got a special guest on the line, man. We got Cash 916, Cash Money over the house. What's up with you, big dog?
Oh, it was good, dog. I didn't walk in at the right time. I heard something about bulging in some pants, dog. Don't be hating on my stage presence, dog. I need to make the money as much as good as I can. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
shit, I'm
going
to go back to stripping. Fuck it.
Hey, man, all I know is when I'm around, bro, you're doing it right, you know, with that part.
That's right, brother. That's what's going on. I got two new ones I'm dropping, dog, probably tonight.
Man, I heard you might be in studio right now.
I'm in that motherfucking Misfits of Gold, Don McGuire studio right now. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. You know, for my listeners that don't know, you need to go check him out. Cash 916 is popping things off hard. You know, you talk about dropping a couple more tonight. How has that aspect grown for you, Johnny? You know, the trend in music is being defined by artists like you. How much growth have you seen since you stepped up into the industry?
Bro, I'm an infant in the game. It's a slow process, but it's growth. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, my followers, if you go on my page, bro, I probably got like 400 followers, bro. I don't really care about all that, but people are listening, and that's all I want. You know what I'm saying? Like, last night I reposted up my album, you know, just as advertisement, you know what I mean? I got to pimp myself out a little bit. So I was like, you know, go check out the album. You know what I mean? If you're on the if you're on the East Coast and you're in New York, you know, go cop that album. We got some cool joints on there. You know what I'm saying? If you're in the West Coast, I got some motherfucking slappers on there. And from anywhere in between, man, I got some good music, man. Just go check it out. So I posted that up on Instagram. I wake up this morning, and the motherfucking Bay Area legend himself, Too Short, liked my post, dog. You know what I'm saying? So I had to fan out a little bit. But I grew up on Too Short, man. So my music's getting heard. My name is getting out there a little bit. You know what I mean? So I enjoy, you know, I did my first performance on my birthday on this last past Saturday, dog. For about 30 people, dog, but it was the shit. I loved it, man. So it's going good, man. So I just got to keep applying pressure. You know what I mean? I got to keep flooding the market. I dropped my album. I can't be, you know, just kick back and see what it do. You know what I mean? I still got to get out there and throw some shit out there, man. Shoot some more videos, make some more songs, put it out there, hop on different beats, get on the radio, you know what I mean? Get on the shows and just, you know, try to do it big, man. It's just a slow process, but I'm in love with it. It's working.
Yeah, we're going to have you back on backstage, man, when we get the opportunity to, you know, we'll make that happen.
Oh,
I'm going to hook you. Yeah, I'm going to hook you up with Anakin Records, too, out on the East Coast and see if we can't get something popping that way, too, bro.
One, two, three album deal, some shit. You know what I mean?
Probably. I feel you. You know, we're going to kind of get back to the talk show aspect of things. You know, I got to tell you, I seen this news clip the other day that just, oh my God, and it wasn't fake because, well, it was fake on the news reporting agency's aspect, but somebody had took out their phone and did a live of it, and I was dying, bro. They had this, you know, because of this hurricane, they had this journalist, and he appears to be in, like, you know, water up to his waist, and he's talking about, oh, it's so bad, the roads are impassable, you know, you can't even get around, I had to wade into this water, and this is, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then 2 seconds later, not even 15 feet behind him, this brother walks across the road. And he's not even underwater. You know, I was dying. You know, what is it about the news media that feels they have to sensationalize that aspect of a story? Why do they feel that they have to put fear into the people and make them think this, the scenario is 10 times worse than what it truly is? And I'll start with you, MF.
Yeah, it makes me think about a couple of things, but the first one is just like, you know, when somebody gets caught up in a lie, you start questioning every single thing that they've ever said or done. So when you start seeing shit like that on, you know, people are exposing what the news is doing, it's like, yeah, now it's getting caught, or now this is, you know, showing up on the forefront, but it's like, how long they've been doing shit? And first and foremost, it's like people seem to forget that, like, news stations and fucking shit of that nature, they're entertainment first and foremost. You know, they're like, they're looking for ratings. They don't care how the fuck they get them. Like, what was it? Anchorman made fun of that shit. Was like, oh, we're not going to give news. Nobody gives a fuck. We're just going to tell them shit that they want to hear. Or, you know, that they're going to get fucking drawn to. Controversy, sex, drugs, death, war. It doesn't matter, dude. So it's just like, how long has it really been happening? Fuck the fact that it's getting pointed out now. But yeah, the hurricane shit had me dying. I'm like, damn, so what are they doing? Sitting down on their ass? Like, I saw one where it showed the cameraman was maybe, like, ankle deep, and the fucking reporters were, like, chest high. I'm like, so what are these bitches, like, they just sitting down, like, in the water? Like, damn, like, we're trying to get dramatic. We need ratings, fucking people.
Right? Travis, what are your thoughts?
Well, man, you know, MS kind of took the words out of my mouth there. And mainstream media is 100% entertainment, you know? It's about the fucking ads that they're selling you between the commercials. And if you can get somebody like Anderson Cooper to go stand out fucking nipple deep in water, and you can get that picture and put that picture on the internet, you're going to have more people coming to your website, you know, and you're going to get more traffic. It's another one of those corrupt things, man, that has been turned into, you follow the money trail and you see what happens. I mean, I'm sure you saw the other one that was happening from a different news station where the weather reporter was standing there bracing himself against the hundreds of miles an hour wind while two kids in basketball shorts just casually fucking walk behind him with no struggle whatsoever. You know, and then you see that same radio station comes out and defends their reporter saying, oh, well, the difference was is that reporter was standing on wet grass and trying to do this and that. You know, rather than anybody taking fucking responsibility for the fact that it's all just a show to who can get the best fucking rating.
You know, I seen a post that kind of made me, I don't know, man, it just kind of made me think about it. And I'm going to pose this to you, Johnny. You know, it says, loyalty kept me in some situations that common sense should have took me out of. What does Cash 916 take away from that statement?
Oh, bro, that's real shit. You know what I mean? Because everybody nowadays, you know, I'm going to try to take it from a hip-hop generation. You know what I mean? But it's something that I come from, and my opinion. When you talk about loyalty, back in the day, bro, that's what we prided ourselves on. You know what I'm saying? Like, to be loyal to somebody, you know, or to be loyal to a cause or whatever. And there's some people that really believe that, and there's some people that are really loyal, and it's deep down in them. The fake motherfuckers say they're loyal. The real people show you that they're loyal. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just no one wants to be known as fake. You know what I'm saying? So they'd rather say that they're loyal and lie. So fake the loyalty until you, you know what I mean? Until you get found out, or until, you know, or until your ass does really become loyal. But, bro, hey, I've been loyal to some motherfuckers, bro, that I've had in my home when they were homeless. I bought their kids Christmas gifts. Sacrificed my kids this Christmas and bought their kids gifts, driven them to school, picked them up, fed them, washed their clothes, they shit on my toilet. And the first time, you know, some trouble happens, you know, at home, these motherfuckers want to call or text my wife and be like, what's good? You know what I'm saying? Bruh, you know what I mean? Like, I showed my loyalty to, you know, so I thought who was a good dude, it was my boy. But, bruh, you lose people, bro. You know what I'm saying? It's not. There's not too many motherfuckers. There's not enough cloth for all of us to be cut from it. You feel me? So, that shit's whack to me, bro. I would rather you be like, you know what I mean? Hey, I hate everybody, rather than to be like, I'm down with you. I'm down with you, and then talk about me, or then, you know, if you're down with me, dog, you're fucking down with me, or if you're down with a cause, you got to be down with that cause, dude. If not, then you're fucking fake. I'd rather you not be a loyal at all. I'd rather just be a normal ass person, you know. That's what I take out of it.
You know, MF, that kind of can be considered in a situation that I'm in. Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna bring any names up because you know the situation. But you know, do you think I was wrong in the aspect of, you know, handling and correlating that situation
Not at all, bro. I think you handled it spot on. You know what I mean? But it's like, we understand, like, what Johnny was saying. It's like, we don't have to tell anybody that we're fucking loyal. You know what I mean? It's like, either I fuck with you or I don't. Either you fuck with me or you don't. Like, it's not going to bother me either way. But it's like, I'd rather, you know, have a honest enemy than a fucking untrustworthy friend. You know what I mean? And that's just kind of how it goes. It's like people that make promises. Because, you know, like, anybody that makes a promise, they're automatically lying. Only liars make promises, because every single promise will be fucking broken. Because think about it, like, I don't have to promise you shit. You know, if I say it, I'm going to do it, or if worse comes to worse and I can't make it happen, I'm going to be the first one to let you know that I can't fucking make it happen, dog. Sorry. You know, I might be able to point you in a different direction, but I own up on the shit that I said I could do it, and I fucked up. I couldn't do it. You know, there's a lot of people that aren't like that, like what Johnny was saying, like, they don't want you to think that they're fake. They don't want to tell you that they're fake, so they're going to come up with some bullshit to try and get you to believe them or try to be your homie. You know what I mean? Like, the ones that try too hard to make friends, you end up fucking hating them because it's like, dude, like, you're not even being fucking real. You know what I mean?
Right. It's like, man, you want my sandwich?
You know, and it's like, and then they only hit you up when they need something or when they want something, but it's like, yo, like, you're like, Johnny, I haven't seen Johnny in fucking, I mean, like, how long? It was like, I think fucking either had a fight or I've seen your ass in Lozo somewhere. Shit, something like that, dude. But remember how I fucking seen your ass in fucking that bar out in fucking Roseville? But it's like, we could go without not seeing a homie for a long time and then come back like shit didn't fucking happen. You know, like, it ain't been no fucking years behind it. Like, I was talking with fucking Jason about that shit. Like, I warned him about the whole thing on what's going to happen with all his fame, his fortune, fucking whatever he's going to be going through. And it's like, he realized through the fucking struggle, because it's like, everybody he thought was close ended up hating on him because he was doing fucking good. But then he realized there was a select group of people that really wanted him to do fucking good, and those are the ones you don't hear from every day. Those are the ones that, you know, aren't fucking trying to get you to fucking, you know, do something you're not supposed to be doing, or the ones that actually got your back, you know, or, like, at least do what they fucking can to help you.
Yeah. You know, hey, Travis, you better be glad you wasn't on last. Well, no, if you would have been on last week, I rode Casey like a horse.
No, didn't he say that fucking Hillary Clinton was a reptilian? And if you get Oprah Winfrey was a goddess?
Well, Oprah got that
Trump
goddess
was a
money,
savior.
Dog.
Oh, I was dying because the way it started out, the way the interview started out, bro, was like, you know, I asked him, you know, give me a quick, you know, bio synopsis of where you're from. And, well, the only thing around me is Mennonite women and farmland.
Oh, you said fucking meth, too.
Walter White.
Oh, bro, I was riding him hard. I was trying to get on him about what's it like to be with a Mennonite woman. And he would not answer me.
Because he has been, dog. Because he has been.
Yeah, that's how it's up there.
I was dying, bro. He didn't know what to say. And then we took him on the transgender journey. And he was like, I don't know why everybody's making such a big deal of it. You know, it's just a sign on a bathroom door. Bro, I unleashed a beast on his ass. That poor boy will never come back on the show again. You think, MF?
Oh, yeah, no, he was more concerned about it. He was like, man, I hope I did good on your guys' show, like, da, 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 da. He wasn't even tripping. Like, me and Casey had talked all the time. He just got to get warmed up to you.
Oh, man. It was funny. I told that boy a new ass. Well, you know, usually I got Travis to pick on, and Travis wasn't here last week. You know, it's just like, I wouldn't pick on you if I didn't like you, Travis. You know that. That's why I did let your number air out live on public radio.
He also offered some shirts and shit, too. Now, real shit, he was like, if anybody calls this number and gives me proof, you get into a chance to win some shirts or some stickers and shit. I'm like, fuck yeah, we're talking about this.
I like it.
Oh, and that's what you get for not showing up, bro. I didn't tell the police to show up at your house.
Hey, I'll raffle in my bedroom, dog.
Yeah. Well, the real stories of the housewives of the mountains. You know.
Can't find no love like that Amish love.
Oh, no.
All hairy legs and armpits and everything.
Oh.
Hey, that's so loyal as fuck to a cause right there, G. That's some fucking loyalty right there, dude.
So, oh, God. You won't kill me for this. So, how many of Aspen Lad's brothers and sisters are your children, Travis?
I'm going to pass on that one. To play the fifth.
I mean, there's like 15 of them.
I don't know. Mama's single too now, dude. That's a little more my speed.
Again?
Well, Mama's the one I'm talking about. She spit them out like a corn shucker, bro.
You know, I'm an expert in that shadow play, Don.
He made out with Brito's mom and fucking her roommate or whatever the fuck you want to call him got so mad. Like, he ended up fucking, they ended up getting some fight and she broke a fucking mirror over his head and fucking, it was wild. All because Travis made out with Brito's mom for a hot second.
Oh, wow.
Oh, bro, there's many people that have been fucking Polaris that seen that shit. It was comedy.
Travis being a player with Brito's bomb. Dude, when are you going to learn some common sense, homie?
I played the fifth.
You plead the fifth.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you plead the fifth, but you ate the pie. Come on, bro.
Well, he ate the coochie, technically. And that's Japanese for mouth. I'm serious with a heart attack too. I think I'm bullshitting. Look that up. The Japanese word for mouth is coochie.
Well, Travis was all up on that coochie then.
Definitely not my first rodeo.
Bruh, what were you thinking, man? You know Brito could whoop that ass.
No, Brita. Brita Carpenter, dog. The fucking tech girl.
Oh, Brita. Oh,
Brita.
I just think you said Brita.
That's sacrilegious. You know, I mean, Brito's a homie. Brito's a homie. You don't cross lines with Brito.
Bro, okay. I heard the O instead of the A, and I thought Travis, man, I was like, Travis must got like a 14-inch hog, dog.
Yeah, right?
That boy's showing his nuts off, dog, and the stick to go with it. I'm like, shit, Brito's mom? I don't want to say that because Brito's cool. But fuck, dog.
I keep thinking, boy, not early 70s.
I'm like, man, I'm not going to buck up on Travis no more. He got the balls to be hitting up on Brito's mom and shit right now.
Yeah,
he's more gangster than anybody that's ever come on this show.
Right?
Like Travis A1 to me, dog. He got that.
Oh, damn. Hey, Travis, since it was Brita Carpenter's mom, did you sit down for one of those karaoke moments with Grandma?
Oh, absolutely. I've been rallying for that for the past 7 years, man.
Oh,
wow.
God. Oh, Travis.
Although I think after today, I might have a restraining order against me. That might have fucked the game up.
Oh, man. My two OGs, Johnny and MF, well, what do you let this boy do up there, man? Hey, Travis, I suggest moving to a city real soon, bro. Mountains.
No, that's why he stays up in the mountains, bro. Like, he needs to be contained. Like, this motherfucker, like, I'm not going to air out no more of the shit I've seen him do or fucking go through or anything of that nature. But, man, like, it's just this guy, like, he doesn't ever seem to, what would you say, like, it's never a dull moment with this dude. Like, at any point in time, in any space, and it's like, from this point to this point, I'm talking like grades here, you know what I mean? Like we're on a scale of 1 to 10, and we're going over up to like 15 and down to like negative 3. Like, I've seen it all.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, on a serious note, I thought you said Brito's mom, and I was like, Johnny,
fuck,
man.
Me too, man.
My bad.
You know what I mean? Sometimes I talk fast. I am impatient.
Yeah, I was like, man, Travis got that John Holmes shit going on, bro.
Fucking King Kielbasa. You know how I always talk about extreme ownership, Don. We got to take responsibility for our actions around this motherfucker.
Peter Carpenter's mom, bro. I wouldn't be bragging about that.
Hey, sometimes it's just a notch on the belt, dog. You know what I mean? Just to say you did. Just like Britney Spears with a shaved head. You know, like, I'm not going to brag about it, but at the same time, it's like, hey, I fucking did it.
Dude, that's the Britney I want, dog. Fuck the put together.
The crazy one. I want you to look at me like you hate me.
I want the well vodka, cut cocaine sniffing fucking Britney, dog. Fuck yes, I want that Britney. The barefooted Britney, dog. That's the one I want, dog.
Yeah.
I don't want to put together.
You're right.
Dog.
Shit. You know what I want, man? I want that Christina Aguilera when she came out with Genie in a Bottle, bro. Oh, my goodness.
I want the fatter Christina.
Hey, man, I tell you what, man. Since we got off topic and we're talking about some crazy shit, man, if I did have that one opportunity to pick one female singer star, I gotta admit, man, I'm kind of partial to Fergie Bird, man.
To who?
He's a Harry fucking Tubman.
I want to see if it's Fergalicious, bro.
If it's Fergalicious, those lovely lady humps.
Yeah.
No.
I feel you, dog. Hey, my wife told me I used up all of my hall passes in 1 year. She's like, you don't get no more hall passes.
Oh,
hey, bro, that's when I first started training at MMA Gold, dog. You know what I'm saying? I started, bro. But, hey, look, bro. I'm not going to lie, bro. I was lightweight of a local celebrity, dog. You know what I'm saying? Well, in my eyes, I was. You know what I'm saying? So I couldn't take all the groupies, dog. I couldn't do it. I gave in. I couldn't fucking do it, man. You know what I'm saying? And hey, shit happens. You know, my wife stuck with me through the whole thing. But if I could somehow get a hall pass back, Shakira is getting the business, dog. You know what I'm saying? She's getting the business.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, I got to agree with you there. Travis, we already know you will fucking hit Michelle Obama. MF, who would you take?
Nah, me too.
Man, let's see if anyone remembers this. I'd probably go with Vanity from Last Dragon at that point in time, too, like those years.
Man, we
still I mean, if we're going by anybody, I'm talking like time frame here. It's like, why limit yourself, dog? Like, I'm going for Vanity because, you know, follow your pizza to Daddy Green's Pizza. I'm all about it.
Soul Brother Number One.
Soul Brother Number One.
Oh, man, we got way sidetracked today. That's just fucking crazy.
Are we ever on track when I come on here, dog?
What's that?
Are we ever on track when I get on here, dog? That's what we do.
Hell no.
I don't think we're ever on track.
But when we walk away from the show, Travis's new nickname is going to be Dong.
Dong.
I like it. We're from Titties to Dong. Hey, he's upgrading.
Yeah, he's upgrading. He moved up a notch in my book. You know, I was fitting to be a little scared for you, bro, if it was Brito's mom. I was like, man, this boy got some cojones on him like a motherfucker. But now if it was Dave's mom, that'd be a different story. Oh,
if it was Dave's mom, it'd be a fucking tape.
If it was Dave's mom, I'd have filmed it and sent it to everybody.
Good God.
Fuck, and charged, bro. And fucking
He'd have charged. He probably would have charged Travis, too.
I would have put it past him. He'd try to come at me for that 200 fucking 3 months later.
Bro, he's mad about 200 from you, too? Oh, God.
Oh, man. The people I correlate myself with to my listeners, you got to love them, man. I mean, you're not going to go anywhere else and hear this shit. I can guarantee that. I love this show because we get to be us, man. You know, tomorrow I got another fucked up day of business. I got Chuck Liddell on tomorrow night again. And, you know, these days I hold in high relevance, man. I get to kick off my shoes. Hell, Johnny, you missed it. We even had one of my sponsors on. He loved the show. He said it was the first time he was ever able to actually voice his opinion without getting 20 derogatory comments. And so as long as my sponsors are cool with the show, I'm down with it.
Word. That's what's up, man. That's what's up. It's all about comfort, dog. If you can't do comfort, man, come on.
Right? But on the real, we got about 8 minutes left. I kind of took my first interview. I had a fighter on today. We kind of took it a little bit longer than we were supposed to. But, you know, I think that the coming of, you know, of minds together and sharing our intellectual thoughts is truly a tremendous aspect. It's a lost trait, most certainly, and becoming more of each day in the United States. You know, I look at different aspects from overseas. People are a little bit more open, a little more inept to, you know, sharing the truth and the ideology of how life is supposed to be. Why is it that we as Americans, four different walks of life, can come together each time we have a show and correlate who we are, but yet America doesn't have a clue? And I'll start with you, Travis. Travis, are you there?
Oh, sorry about that, Don. You know, I'm not sitting here trying to stroke our own egos or anything, but it's because we're real. It's because we're honest. It's because, you know, we're fucked up people, but we're going to tell you that we're fucked up people and where we've made mistakes. You know, and I think that's what the media is feeding off of right now. It's feeding off of, you know, trying to divide people and trying to tell you that, you know, you should hate these people for this and for that. And then you go out, you know, you look at the world and you walk through the world and you see the people you're with, and, you know, just like us being on the show here, you know, everybody has the ability to knock off the bullshit, to have extreme ownership, and to just be real and honest, and to start today. You know, but I think as a society, even this whole Me Too movement thing, and I know we don't have, you know, too long to get into any of this shit, but you're seeing it right now with Brett Kavanaugh, where the lady who came out against him said that 35 years ago at a high school party,
he was sexually aggressive towards me, and that should ruin his life now. You know, we're just getting to a point where everybody has to stop with the bullshit. They have to stop with the tribalism. They have to stop watching the fucking news, and you got to go out to your people and your community and make something happen, you know, face-to-face, handshake-to-handshake, and look out for the people who you're around and who are with you, and the world will be a better place.
You know, I gotta agree. Even though you're from the mountains, and the only homie you got is Woody Woodpecker, but you know, I agree with you, homie. MF, your thoughts?
Yeah, it kind of same thing. It's like not trying to stroke anybody's ego, so I'm not going to. It's just I lack particular human traits that I guess enable me to be able to do what I do. As far as talking to people on like a real level, like I got nothing to hide. You know what I mean? Like I am who I am. It's like you're either gonna take me as I am, or it's I'm just not gonna fuck with you. It's that simple. You know, it's like what Travis was talking about, like tribalism and other things. Like, I'm not married to my ideas. And on here, I think we're all fucked in the head anyway, and that's why we get along. You know, it's like we've all gone through our own set of pain, so it's like I'm not going to judge the next poor bastard because, fuck, you know, I don't know what he went through. I don't know what anything else went through. But the people that go through more pain, more struggle, you know what I mean, they tend to flock to the other. But it's like a deeper understanding, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, again, you've never been poor until you got a favorite flavor of ramen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I truly know that. But before we let Johnny say his little farewells here, I'm going to blast a little bit of him for a second.
With another one, Sacramento summer one, golden on the beat, shit slapping, yeah, another one, Khaled is the number one, Bay is the dummy one, Cash can't rap, knee slapping, yeah, funny one, rapping rappers up there, smoke you like a honey bun, to dump you in the backwoods, then I roll it backwards, Khalifa cushed up in the leaf, yeah, the honey wine, then I peel off, aren't you glad that...
If you want to hear more, you got to go buy the album, man, that's some shit, bro.
Hey, iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Google Play, Tidal, you name this on there, man.
Yeah, man, I got to admit, I'm a fan of your music, bro. I'm going to do whatever I can. Me and MF were just talking about this the other day. I'm going to do whatever I can to help you live that dream, and that's what life's about, brothers helping brothers, and that's why I appreciate this show. You know, my friends, thank you so much for coming on the episode today. I apologize for being a little bit late, but as usual, man, I had fun today. Peace be with all of you, man.
Holla.
Yeah.
You take it easy, Johnny. Thanks for joining the show today, bro.
Later, brother. It's always a pleasure, dog. Just whenever. I'll get on whenever you guys want me to, man. Any show.
Better and Steve over here and shit.
That's some fucked up shit. But on that note, God bless you guys, man. You guys have a great day. Peace. Ladies and gentlemen, that show got way sideways. We talk about some crazy shit on that show, but this is the only day that I get to do me, have fun with some homies from across the country and talk about sometimes relevant, sometimes irrelevant stuff as today. But on that note, I got a live feed I got to do here in a minute, and I got another show I got to do tonight. On that note, we're going to take us out with a little bit more of Cash. You really need to check him out, man. I got to tell you, just a year and a half in the industry, and he's doing it right.
Yeah. Can you hear me? Hey. My G killing with the
West Side.
Hey, let's show him how to do it. Stoves. Hard spin. Cheese. Relative. Come on, let's kill him on this one. Let's show these youngsters how to do it, yeah. Cause they doing it wrong. We doing it right. Hey, hey. Shout out Hart fam, this coming from the Hart fam. But that nigga Daniel, we pull up in the dark van. 18 hopping out no bed like we parachuters. Minivan hopping out. I got a parachute. Call them both Yosemite Sam. They got a pair of Rugas. Iron sharp and fine. Yeah, but first you gotta forge a fire. Ever been back to the corner and been forced to fight? We shooting at your roof. We ain't aiming for your.